We have been on a couple of week theme on grace, and it's as if I want to direct you back to tee up where we're going today, and I'll recap a little bit, but we do have it on our podcast, and we have a new website, kingsparkraleigh.com. Encourage you to go there. We put everything on podcast, and kudos to David for helping to get that crafted for us. But on week one, we looked at 2 Samuel 9 at the story of Mephibosheth. Y'all remember Mephibosheth, that when the house of David overcame the house of Saul, and during the flight of that skirmish, the nurse of 5-year-old Mephibosheth dropped the little boy, and he injured his feet and became crippled. Now, I don't know how that happened unless she was on the fourth floor. I don't know. You would think if you drop, you know, you drop a child, maybe they could recover somewhat. But at any rate, we take the record of scripture at face value, and he was crippled in both feet. And so after David had clearly had his reign established and God had spoken to him that his son would build the temple, he began to just have a full experience, like after a good meal, I am so satisfied. God, you are so good. You know, who am I that you would even bring me this far? That you would even go so far as to speak about the future of our house and my family line, that we would build your temple. Just amazing. And as he is in that place of satisfaction and contemplation, he began to inquire, is there anyone else of the house of Saul that I can show God's kindness to? And so someone said, well, there's this son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth, who lives over in Lo-Debar. And trust you me, Lo-Debar was just out in outer Oogie Boogie, not even one yellow blinking light. We could rename it Lower the Bar, you know, but he was just kind of out there. He had lost everything, as if he's out in exile. And David, who was a type of Christ, was looking, saying, is there anyone we can be kind to? Now, does that sound like anyone you know? Oh, yeah, it sounds like our God. He was capturing the character of God. And it says that he sent for him, and he brought him to his house, restored all of his estate, invited him to sit at his table. He moved from Lo-Debar to Jerusalem into the king's city, and he restored everything back. And so on this theme of grace, that was our kicking out of the gate first Sunday, talking about the God side of the grace package, where number one, grace searched him out. He wasn't looking for a way to better his situation, but grace sought Mephibosheth out. Secondly, because he was crippled, David said, go get him and bring him here. So point number two from a couple of weeks is grace carries us where we need to go. How many of you know we can't get from point A to point B? We can't get where we need to go without help from above. Are we here? I mean, he who began a good work will finish it. Can you say finish it? Oh, Mephibosheth couldn't have gotten there, but grace will take you where you need to go. Grace will seek you out and find you. Grace knows your address, and it'll bring you up out of that muck and get you to where you need to be. Thirdly, grace gave him an identity he would not otherwise have had. And then finally, grace gave him a new identity because he was there being treated as a son. And fourthly, gave him an inheritance he would not otherwise have had. Is God not good or what? This 2 Samuel 9 is a theology of the grace of God and the heart of God. We're out there in Lo-Debar. We're just, everything's been taken. Everything's been robbed. We're stranded, as it were. We're minding our own business. And grace comes and pursues us and gets us and carries us to the very king's table. That's an exciting thing. I found the Lord. Well, don't think so, sweetheart. He wasn't lost. He found you. Grace found you and I. You know, great. It's like God found me in 1983. When I was a student over at North Carolina State, he found me. I didn't wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to serve God today. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Going to serve God. Going to live holy. Yeah, I'm going to live righteous. I think that's what I'm going to do. No, he began to come after, come after, come after, come after. Everything comes from him, through him, and back to him. It's all God, God, God. And so that's why our praise goes to God. All right, that was part one. You want more of that? Get on the podcast. Then we transitioned last week to part two. And we quoted the Apostle Paul out of Acts 20. And he was saying farewell to the Ephesian elders. And he said, I've been warned that everywhere I go, there's imprisonments and there's hardships. That means nothing to me that I might finish testifying to the gospel of grace. Can you say the gospel of grace? He didn't say that I might testify to the gospel of works. He didn't say that I might testify to the gospel of self-help. He didn't say that I might testify to the gospel of doing better. You ever had a case of the doing betters? Have you ever had hardening of the arteries? I ought to be doing this. I ought to be doing that. I ought to be yada, yada, yada. And so he was testifying to God's grace. And I mentioned a week ago, even when you say the word grace, it's as if our face lights up. Grace. We know there's something good in it. It's not a stern term. It's a gracious term. There's life on that term. Grace. Even if someone theologically doesn't comprehend it or can't define it, there's a feeling about the word grace. I think I like that. God's face shining on me. His favor being given to me just because he loves me. Just due to love. Just due to love. That's a good thing. And then we talked about also last week that when we talk about the gospel of grace, in Galatians, Paul was concerned about those that would pervert the gospel. Paul went so far as to say, it's really not a gospel. How many of you know if you add to or take away, it's not a good thing? And so he began to get concerned about the Judaizers that were saying, yeah, okay, but you need to do this. You need to abstain from this. You need to eat this. You need to worship on this day. You need to add to what Jesus did. How many of y'all know that Jesus doesn't need any hamburger helper? It's Jesus, period. And aren't you glad for that? Okay? So we talked about, as we look at the gospel, there are two ditches. There's a ditch of legalism, and there's also a ditch of license. Okay? Can you say legalism? Can you say license? Our goal when we're driving a car is to keep the car on the road. How many of y'all think that's a good idea? That's just basic driving 101. I mean, I know we take the test about the stop signs and merging and what do you do in this scenario. They never ask me, where do you keep the car? But I'm just going to pretty much speculate that they have always intended we keep that bad boy right on the road, okay? Because there's a ditch on either side. So in the name of the gospel, there are two ditches we want to stay out of. One is the ditch of legalism, where we're trying to add to the sacrifice of Christ. The other ditch is license. Remember, Jude said there are these men that crept in among you and they have turned the grace of God into what? Into a license or to licentiousness. In other words, they've turned it into anything goes. You can do whatever you want to do. And so in this grace message, for a lack of a better way to frame it, there's a God side and there's a human side, but it's all by God's grace. Even the human side of receiving and responding, that too is by God's grace. So again, it always goes back to God, but there is a human side. We're not robotic this morning. We can make choices. We are free moral agents. And so we want to unpack, what is the grace of God? What is our response? So again, on week one, we unpacked more of the God side of grace. We're going to look a little bit to the human side of grace today and look at our response to his grace. Because again, we find that there can be certain ditches. Now, in a topic like grace, how many of y'all know we could take 25 years and not even touch it? I've only taken 2 weeks, and we're on week three. And the more I get into it, I'm like, we're just scratching the surface here. It's just so vast. It's so amazing. There are just so many discoveries of God's heart and just his absolute obsession with us. Just the freeness of the free gift of God, it just blows me away That's why John Newton called it amazing grace. He was a slave trader and a perverted man, but yet God helped him in that deprived state. And so, again, looking at the human side today, we're going to talk about how true grace cancels out both ditches of legalism and license, yes. But again, remembering that Paul talked about the Judaizers that perverted, and Jude talked about those who turned it into license. So, true grace. Can you say true grace? All right, that presupposes there's a thing called what? False grace. Paul called it perverted grace. Or we could say distorted grace. In other words, you could have 75% of truth and 25% error, and there's still some truth in there, but that 25% could get us in trouble. So there's a distortion. We could totally get it right on God's heart, but get it wrong on our response. Or we could totally get it right on our response, but get it wrong on God's heart. Does that make sense? And so that's why we're going to try to get some help here today. So, true grace cancels out legalism. Why? Because God gave his all. There's no need for it. There's no need for the hamburger helper. There's no need to add to the sacrifice. Why? He did it. And he did it well. And he did it in an exhaustive way. God gave his all. Can you say God gave his all? God gave his all. Not a partial redemption, but a full redemption. Can you say full redemption? True grace, on the other hand, cancels out license or licentiousness, because now we give our all. We're not looking at grace as license to do just anything we want, because God's so amazing and God's so good and God's so forgiving, therefore anything goes. Okay, does that make sense? So true grace cancels out legalism because God gave his all. True grace cancels out license because we now give our all. I tried to put this in an illustration here for you this morning, and thank you to Christine and David. I was trying to throw them my diagram, and with their technology, they helped me here. But so we see on the left side of the ledger, legalism, it's canceled out because why, church? Because God gives us his all, not part. So we don't have to add to. We don't have to observe something religious days. We don't have to abstain from certain foods. We don't have to obsess with things that are merely a shadow of the substance which is found in Christ. On this side of the ledger, grace cancels out license because we are going to now, in response to grace, give our all. And so therefore it cancels out licentiousness and just living any way we want to and just throwing off restraint and having no regard for God's standards. So does that make sense here this morning? All right, on the that was your moment. All right. On the legalism side of the ledger, to help, and again, when we're talking about this, there are those of y'all need to hear about not being tempted to fall in the ditch of legalism. And you're like, oh, thank God for talking about God's heart. There are others, though, that are tempted to be in the ditch of license. And it's kind of like, well, just anything goes. And it's like, it's helpful to hear. And I don't know where the application is. So you hear how the Holy Spirit applies it to you. And if you don't have a propensity to be in either ditch, then just enjoy just your secure place in the righteousness of God. But I found the human condition. We're like monkeys. We swing from tree to tree. I mean, we'll eat from the tree of life and then go over here and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And sometimes we'll get in this ditch and go, dear Lord. And then we overcorrect. Have you ever overcorrected on the highway? How many of y'all know that's not a good thing? You know, all of a sudden you realize, all right, I'm veering, and we overcorrect, and all of a sudden we find ourselves hitting a car over in that lane. So again, the application can be multiple. But on the legalism side of the ledger, we're helped with scriptures like John 3:16. This is so familiar, we've almost forgotten it. It's the banner you see at football games all the time, you know. For what? For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave his only son. That whoever would believe in him would what? Would what? But what? Have eternal, and eternal life is not in the sweet by and by. It's a quality of right life right now. Your kingdom come, your will be done right now. Faith is now. The kingdom is now. It's not yet in fulfillment and totality, but it is right now. Grace is right now. And so, for God so loved the world that he, what? That he gave. He gave his best. He gave us Christ. Yea, God, that sets us free. This amazing gift of Christ. Also, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, where Paul said, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. That should help someone who's just huffing and puffing. What are you doing? I'm pleasing God. What are you doing? I'm bearing fruit and I'm trying. No, this ought to set us free. Not of yourselves. It is the what? Gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We could go on and on. There's a plethora of scriptures on that side of the ledger. You know, he who began a good work, what's he going to do? Stop short? No. He who began a good work's going what? He's going to complete it. Say complete it. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to complete it, sweetheart. He's going to finish that good old thing he began in you. He's not done with you yet. Even though we've all got a knuckle-headed side, he's not done. It's never about us. It's always about him, his care, his grace, his lavish love that he pours on us in spite of us. That's why we worship him. Dear me, it's not logical. That's why we worship him. Dear me, I don't deserve this. That's why we worship him. And so if you have a deficit in this area, put these scriptures in about God's heart for you. God's heart for you. His unfailing love concerning you. On the license side of the ledger, Matthew 22, 36 through 40, our response. Hearing this, Jesus silenced the Sadducees. The Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, I love the response because Jesus said, it's not only the greatest, but it is the first. It is numero uno. Nothing is greater than this. And we need to keep the first commandment in first place, not in fourth, fifth, or sixth, but keep the first commandment in first place. He said, this is it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the what? First and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these. I love Mark 12:30, where it says that the answer to the duty of man is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and what? Strength. Mark adds the word strength. We're to love God, not in a partial way. Did he love us in a partial way or in a holistic totality of his being? Not in a partial way, but of all our what? Strength. But we got to keep looking to God or we'll go off in the ditch of our strength. This is very nuanced. This is very delicate. This is why we want to look at this and study this out. Love him with all that we have. Not some puny little, I prayed that prayer. You know, I can remember walking down the aisle when I was six and shook the pastor's hand. And, you know, what's been going on since then? Well, I can remember that great and glorious day way back then. We always kind of relegate it to the past or in the future, in the great by and by when we're going to be with him in glory. No, it's like, what about now? What's the disposition of my heart now? Is he doing something in my heart today? Am I fascinated today? Do I have a hot heart today? Am I wowed at the heart level today, or am I just bored? Or is it like, yeah, you know, I had that encounter with God, you know, about 5 years ago. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, it's good. It's good. There's a fresh dimension of him to be discovered today. There are parts of his personality and character to be discovered and unpacked today. If we find ourselves bored, look and unpack more of his character traits. If we find ourselves given to license where we're not living upright, begin to study his heart over you. Don't just, you know, let the law beat you down, but find out how committed he is to you, and that'll get you up like getting Mephibosheth out of Lodabar. He didn't bring himself out of that mess. King David, who represented the heart of God, got him out. How many of y'all like to get out without condemnation? That's a tricky thing. I want to get out. I want to lay hold of grace. and without the guilt associated to who I am. That's called the gospel, guys. That's good news. The gospel of grace. Good news. Good. Happy faces. God's not mostly mad. He's not mostly sad. He's mostly glad. But we have a theology, he's mostly mad. He's tolerating me. No, he's whooped over you. Whooped over me. My picture's in his billfold. He likes me. Thinking about me. I'm on his heart. How do we know that? The Bible. We serve the God of Scripture. So there is a response. Titus 2, 11 and 14. For the grace of God, this is what it'll do, that brings salvation has appeared to whom? To all men. It teaches us, what does grace, what does it teach us to do? To say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, what? Eager to do good. Can you say eager? Do you have a passion in that way? See, religion won't give you a passion. Religion will put another brick on your already stack of guilt and condemnation and unworthiness. Is there a desire, a burning heart? Is our lamp full? What will do that? The grace of God. Not looking within, looking to him. And then we're eager. Not because we have to, because I want to. It's not like I prayed that prayer when I was 7. Everybody saw it. It's public. Said, daggone it. I guess I can't go out and get high in front of everybody. You know, they saw it. You know, how many of y'all know that's just a sorry recipe. We want to be enamored. We want to be fascinated. We want to be lovesick because this amazing bridegroom is totally committed towards us. And he's moving towards us like David did toward Mephibosheth. And he had nothing but good in his heart. And he's probably thinking, why is the king calling on me? Normally, when there's a change of regime, it means they're going to completely do away with the former house and off with your head. But no, the king came to him not to judge him, but to reinstate him. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How can I not love him back? How can I not love him back? He's been so amazing to me. I don't have to serve God. I want to serve God. Are you kidding me? Who wouldn't want this? This pardon, this freedom, this free gift of righteousness. Who wouldn't want it? So then it's no big deal for me to give my all because I've seen something greater than the little things of the day that distract me and give me an angst and bother me. I've seen something higher. Paul saw it. That's why he did what he did. Isaiah saw it. That's why he did what he did. What do we see? Have we beheld the glory of the Lord? So, this effort on our part, it doesn't contradict God's grace. It demonstrates it. My being devout is not something of works that I have to do. I'm just a man in love. I'm not even mindful of religion or duty or I'm just a man in love. And because I'm in love, I'm not going to steal. And because I love, I'm not going to do certain things. And because I love, I'm not going to defraud. And because but my obsession is love. Not how do you live in a right way? I'm consumed with him. And due to love, I'm going to order my life a certain way. God gives his all. We give our all. Church, this is true grace. This is true. We receive. We give. We inhale grace and the love of God. We exhale obedience and love for God. We inhale the knowledge of the Lord. Oh, he so loves me. Wow, that's going to change my whole internal constitution. That's going to change my emotional chemistry. A lot of people today that are sick and afflicted and have a diagnosis stamped over their life, and y'all know that doctors will gladly give you a diagnosis quickly. Many of that could be cured by just understanding God is for me. God is for me. I don't have to. No, he's just for me. Just due to love. But I don't deserve it. Yeah, just due to love. Just due to God being God. That'll set someone free. We inhale his love. We exhale the desire to follow. This is grace at work. This is grace at work. Freely we've received, freely we give. True grace calls us to wholehearted love. A distorted grace message validates a half-hearted pursuit of God, i.e. being lukewarm. Does that make sense? So again, let's just zoom in a little closer with the microscope here. Again, just again unpacking the human side. Jesus did it all, yes, but there is a human side to following him. Yes, it's our response to his grace. Say our response. Jesus paid it all on the cross pertaining to our salvation and justification, but we still have to say yes to it and follow him. Now, when I talk about the human side, don't think that cancels out the God side. Don't say, well, bless God, he just now, the monkey just swung over here. I thought we were going to talk about God's heart. It's all about God's heart. It's all connected to the first commandment. If we're preaching grace that's not connected to the first commandment, it's not grace. So when I swing over here to the human side, don't think it cancels that out. I remember when I first started preaching 30 years ago, I thought if I could always just hold up two signs, one is God loves you, and the other is there's no condemnation for those in Christ. Those underpinnings are always there. Are we here? So on the human side, so Jesus paid it all, right? But yet, there's still a response. For instance, Jesus won't repent for me, although he gives me the gift of repentance. Make sense? People say, Jesus done it all. He's done it all. I guess I just won't go to work tomorrow. I'll just stop school. He did it all. I'm done. Thank God I learned that today. I learned he did it. I don't have to add anything to that. Woo, I'm done with school halfway in. Man, I'm so glad I don't have to strive now because he did it all. You see the nuancing of this? It's interesting. Yes, he did it all, but there are things he can't repent for me. Jesus won't do my praying. Even though he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me, and even though he gives me burdens and promptings to pull aside and go after him, that desire to pray, that even comes from God. So even though I say yes, the initiative still comes from him. It's the grace that's there to respond. So my confidence is not what I'm doing. No, it's his wooing and beckoning me. Jesus won't read my Bible for me. How about you? Did he read your Bible for you this past week? I just discovered he's just not going to read my Bible for me. How many of y'all know it can be kind of crusty and stodgy and all that, and you start off, it's just cold, like starting a car in February, just cold. But you get that bad boy started a little bit, and you let it warm up, then everything is kind of lubed in the right way. It'll begin to move in a correct way. But we have to be willing to say, yes, I'll do it. It doesn't feel good at first, but as I get in the yoke, he'll come alongside and help a man. Jesus won't evangelize for me. Go figure. He's not going to do it. Jesus won't give for me. Jesus won't live holy for me, even though he's given me the very spirit of holiness that raised Jesus from the dead. He's deposited that spirit in my life. Jesus won't resist temptation for me. Again, even though he's praying for me right now. And even though he gave me the helper, even though he's given me his power, even though he taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from what? From evil. Jesus won't be strong or put on the full armor of me, for me, although it's certainly available. Jesus won't answer the call of God for me, although he is certainly calling, is he not? Jesus won't make disciples for me. Remember Jesus in his departing words in Matthew 28? Remember that? In 18 through 20, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go. It's like, you go. No, you go. I don't want to go. You go. You know, you're the one who died for him. You're the one who loves him. All authority has been given to me. I give it to you. The understood subject is you. Therefore, you go. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, you go? Yeah. And so it's kind of like we have to deal with that, whether we're praying, financing, or going ourselves, or helping someone who is. He said, you do it. We're like, no, I'm into grace. I'm on the human side today. Again, if you need the other message, you get it on the podcast. No, but I don't want to strive. I'm into grace. Careful, careful. Careful, careful. There are things that only God can do. There are things that only we can do. He's not going to do our job. We're not going to do His job. He said, you make disciples, I'll build the church. People try to build the church. He goes, no, I said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I do that. You make disciples, I build the church. Oh. I like when Lazarus got raised from the dead. Would you say that was not a miracle? In John 11, Jesus went out to that old dead boy, been in there a couple of days. By that time, he stinketh, King James, amen. And he goes there, and with a loud voice, he says, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus performs the miracle. Wow, it's a God thing. Amazing. I mean, goosebumps on my goosebumps. A few hairs that we have are sticking, you know, it's like, whoa, God. And then he comes out with these grave clothes all bound up, and he said, now you let him go. You can't do what I do, but I'm not going to do what I've called you to do. There's a human response. Can you say human response? But it's all by grace. Lest we get taken off. Well, I'm not into just works. That's why we got to balance Galatians with James, you see. That's the whole. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, the whole of thy word, the sum of thy word is truth. Are we here? Are we doing okay today? Do we get the picture? It's an interesting thing. The grace of God that's so available doesn't automatically mean that we're going to respond in a right way. But we want to. I'll never forget in the mid-90s being intimately involved with a move of God in Pensacola, Florida, where I had friends that were on the leadership team and got to sit with them and meet them, and it impacted our lives on the mission field. And God was pouring out His Spirit in a powerful, powerful way. Over a five-year period, around 5 million people from all over the world came to this church in Pensacola, Florida, in this little subdivision called Brownsville. Just this little subdivision. People thought it was a city. No, it's just this little subdivision. And as I had friendships with the pastoral team, I would talk to somebody and he said, you know, even in the midst of that outpouring, see that woman in the choir? Well, this is going on here and this is going on with, you know, or something they're involved with or a child and she's condoning it. And then this testimony that went all over the world with this gentleman here, he fell in a royal way and da-da-da. And I remember scratching my head because I had read about revival all my life. And then all of a sudden we were in it. And I thought it was this ethereal, kind of like you're just floating and everything's on God and everything is swallowed up. Even in the midst of that intense outpouring, people still just do what they want to do. Does that make sense? I mean, even in the midst of revival, and in my naivety back then, I just thought, well, no, it's just wall-to-wall God. No, even with Jesus in the house, people can still say no to that and go out and do something ridiculous. Are we here? And it's like, I want to know about the character. It's not how high you jump, it's how straight you walk. I want to know about the character. I want to know, you know, is there order there? Has he done a work in the way you behave? Is there humility? Is there godliness there? So all the grace was there, but even in that setting of intense outpouring, individuals still have to say yes and walk it out. But it's not works. It's still by His grace. Does this make sense today? Am I in the right place? All right. God gives grace. Then His grace in us pursues God. Then His grace in us loves God. Then His grace in us resists sin. Then His grace in us works hard. Oh, I don't like that word. I'm a charismatic. I just confess things. No, sweetheart, there's work that's okay. It really is okay. Then that grace in us presses forward. Paul said it this way, I worked harder than all of you. Yet not I, but what? The grace of God in me. He wasn't confused. I mean, when he talked about all he had been through, it was all by the calling of God, all by the grace of God. Therefore, all the glory went to God. God is wholehearted towards us. Then we are wholehearted back to him. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Can we go a little bit further here? Give me permission. I want to look at the word striving. How many of you know striving, for the most part, that has a bad rap because it's striving, right? There's a bad rap to striving, which is obvious. But there's also a good rap concerning striving, which is not altogether bad. We don't want to strive in the flesh, correct? We don't want to do that. Remember the priest in the Old Testament, they would wear linen. Why? Because they were not supposed to sweat. They had to do it in the strength of God. But we do strive in the grace of God. Can you say in the grace of God? We don't strive in our own works and our own flesh, but we do strive in the grace of God. This good grace striving is merely putting effort into the relationship. Does that make sense? Grace striving is putting effort into the relationship. We're not striving to earn anything, certainly not God's love, but because we are loved, we push forward out of that powerful context. We want more. Therefore, that's a beautiful thing. That's a God thing. In marriages, if I were to ask each partner, what if the other doesn't put any effort into the relationship, what would you think? Because they don't want to strive. What would you think if we just canvassed and polled different people that were married? And one of the partners said, I don't want to put any effort into it because I don't want to. You would think, well, you probably don't care very much. What if one partner just wants to receive but is uninterested in giving and investing in the relationship? Again, in God's economy, God initiates, we respond, and then he responds to our response. And to be clear, God loves to receive from us, and he longs to receive from us. That's not striving. That's not legalism. It's heart relationship. It's first commandment stuff. He gives so much to us. It enables and empowers us to say to serve and give back to him. Our love, obedience, and loyalty, it moves God's heart. I think one of the most powerful things in the earth would be to move God's heart. And you know what? God is moved when we move towards him in a right way. When Abraham offered up Isaac, God was like, oh, my word. Oh, goodness. Whew. It moved him. When he was willing to give his son, he said, I see that you're not willing to withhold even anything, even your own son. Therefore, I give my son. I'm in covenant with you. Abraham moved God's heart. God was moved by his intercession. Remember when he said, oh, God, if they're just 10 righteous in the city, then please stay your hand. God said, all right, you got it. You got it. God was moved by David because he was a man after God's own heart. What if God said, how dare you give to me, you legalist? Just receive. Would he do that? In a relationship, would we say that? No, he loves the love relationship. That's the way it should be. We are drawn by love and we love back. True grace is anchored in the first and greatest commandment. The Holy Spirit is given to us to help us love, to empower love, to teach us to love. And due to love, we serve, we honor, we obey, we follow. Yes, he did it all in view of our legal position, salvation. But there's more to the relationship than merely our legal position. We sing in here on Sundays, Jesus paid it all. Isn't that a powerful song? And it's like, yes, I can cease in my own striving. And that's a good thing. Yes, Jesus paid it all. But then what's the next line? All to him I owe. It's not striving. It's not legalism. It's not works. Jesus gave me all his heart and downloaded it in one fell swoop 2,000 years ago and is continuing still. And then we look up at that like Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. We're like, dear Lord, what was that? And then all of a sudden, I abandon everything due to love. Due to love. Due to his character. Due to his awesomeness. Jesus paid it all. Thank God. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Then what's the response? Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. I'm a happy man. I'm not a, I got to. Well, I reckon life is over as I know it. I'm a Christian now. There's no glory in that. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't kick the cat. I don't cuss. How many? There's no glory in that. I don't do that. I don't do that. How many of you? Hello? There's got to be something greater than I don't do this and I didn't. And it's my and I. It's a self-right. No. He conquered me. He showed me his love. Now I'm whooped, and now I want to give my all due to grace. Due to grace. Due to grace. Do we get it? He wasn't partial. He was wholehearted. We're not to be partial. We're to be wholehearted. But when we find ourselves getting into our own self-effort, we just swing back and say, Lord, I need more love. You got to get my tank up. Well, then worship. Then read his love letters. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, unfailing love. Whew, okay, yeah, right. Unfailing love. Thank God. Thank for there. I thought it was me again. And we just swing from tree to tree, from ditch to ditch. And we've got to go back to the fountain. No, no, you really do care. No, you really will pardon. No, it really is okay. I tell you what, it would set many people free for God to say, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I love you. I'm for you. In spite of you, Jesus gave his all. Some don't want to exert any effort thinking it to be legalism and striving, but it's biblical that we do something responding to what he did. We're not trying to do what he did. We're trying to be good responders to what he did, and that honors him. Does that make sense? I've got a lot more, but I'm going to stop. Let's go eat lunch. Stand on your feet. The book of Romans is no light treatise. It's rich with meaning. Paul talks about the wretched man that he was. He admitted it just like John Newton. But then came grace. But he didn't stop and say, thank you, now I'm going to just get on with my bad self. Now he was a motivated man. Now he's an inspired man. Now he's a man conquered and whooped due to love because he's seen something so much grander and bigger than himself. Then he says, I'm all in. I am all in. Father, we just thank you for the freeness of the free gift of righteousness. Lord, it's so free. It's so amazing. And Lord, we want to respond and discern properly this gospel of grace. Lord, we don't want to add to it due to legalism, but we certainly on this side don't want to take away due to license and licentiousness. But we're asking you with your help, keep us on the road. Keep us on the mark. And Lord, I just pray that where we're deficient and where we feel laid low, we'd go back over here and fill our tank, fill our tank, fill our tank. And as our tanks are full, then we would run, 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 run. Lord, I thank you that with your help, we can do this. It's not by might, not by power, but by your Holy Spirit. But by your Holy Spirit. All right, are we okay today that we talked about the human side? Are you too heavy or are you okay? Are you free or are you bound right now? Are you heavy right now or is this okay? The human side is still by grace. All we're doing is responding to love, you see. Does that make sense? We're not going to get in that ditch. We're not going to play. We're not going to take our spiritual pulse every 5 minutes. Am I okay? No, get in the word. He says you're okay. And due to that confidence of unconditional love, we're going to run on that for 1,000,000 years. I'm telling you, we're going to run on that due to love. So Father, we just say yes to this. Yes to more of this understanding. Yes to the knowledge of God. Lord, forgive our wrong concepts of judging you improperly, that you're mostly mad or mostly sad. Lord, we just pray, help our theology to come directly from you, that we could be a set free people. And Lord, giving our all and running hard due to grace, due to love, due to forgiveness, due to your encouragement. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Amen.